This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Let's go, LSU fans. We are reaching the witching hour. As the great Scott Hansen says on LSU Red Zone, LSU Red Zone, NFL Red Zone, it feels like it's an LSU Red Zone where, ironically, we have not really been that good this year. But hopefully, as we reach the goal line of this head coaching search, we finally get the answer. Is it going to be Lane Kiffin? This is my big thing for everyone watching this today. It is not the end of the world if LSU does not land Lane Kiffin. I hope you understand that. I know it's frustrating if we have waited this long just to be the bridesmaid and not actually the bride. But here's the simple truth. LSU is such a great job that a whole host of candidates could actually come here and win. You see the thumbnail image. These are the three names that have been most closely associated to the LSU job. It's Lane Kiffin, and then a strong number two that I keep hearing is Eliah Drinkwitz for LSU. And I will be honest, I have never in my life since doing LSU football stuff, have I seen a coach hated more than Eliah Drinkwitz when it comes to this LSU opening. So you guys, let me know if you truly do believe that Eliah Drinkwitz would be another Brian Kelly-level disaster. I keep seeing him compared to BK, which I don't quite understand, other than them being shorter and somewhat cringy types of coaches. But look, I'm of the belief that a lot of you are tired of hearing reports and sources and all of that. But I did find this interesting from Hotty Toddy News when it comes to the Lane Kiffin opening here at LSU.
College sports. After that conversation, he is rethinking his situation. And now he is likely to be leaning towards staying in Oxford with Ole Miss. This person they talked to my source and told him he thinks he would be better off for his long-term future, probably mental health. Now, that's a Andy insertion there. I'm not saying that this guy told him that, but that's kind of the indication that for the long-term health, he's rehabilitated his image and a lot of other things in Oxford, and the best thing he could do is just stay right there. We'll keep you up to date. There will probably be more changes.
That's not what I've been hearing on the Ole Miss side of things. In fact, it's been the opposite. Of course, as we reach closer to the big day here, which of course would be Ole Miss versus Mississippi State, which kicks off at 11 a.m. on Friday. By the way, normally this game is played on Thanksgiving. Last year, it was the first year in a long time that it was actually played on a Friday instead of the Thanksgiving Thursday. So as we move closer, there is legit steam that Lane Kiffin, his next decision, could already be set in stone by tomorrow. I don't know. And I think a lot of you are tired of hearing that. But I put on my insider hat, and I was able to speak today to an Ole Miss staffer. And I learned more about the overall chronological order of events that occurred on Friday. So, of course, a lot of you know that Lane Kiffin met with Keith Carter, the athletic director. That meeting was set to be in the morning. And as many of you know, Lane Kiffin does have a really good relationship with athletic director Keith Carter at Ole Miss. And that meeting was moved back into the afternoon. And as a lot of you know, when it comes to all this speculation and this guy is already moving into his new house or the contract has already been signed, I'm always more interested in the things that we know have happened. That's why we've had All Things Go on so many times, a reporter who has staked out at the airport in Baton Rouge, because he has actual facts of what actually has happened. He was the first to report the three Kiffins coming to Baton Rouge, and there weren't only three, but you get the point. I was able to learn more about the meeting, and the meeting obviously was an explosive one. It wasn't like them yelling back and forth, but it was a meeting that everybody was wanting to learn more from. Keith Carter, of course, released a statement, and we are where we are right now. And something I did learn was some of the team was very frustrated with the meeting. So this, once again, I couldn't double confirm this, but apparently there was a meeting that happened after that where Lane Kiffin spoke to the team and some players walked out. So you understand that basically everybody that covers Ole Miss outside of Hotty Toddy News right there feels as if this is going to be a situation where Lane Kiffin goes somewhere else. And what's very interesting, Chris Gordy, our guest that's coming up tonight at 6:30, I think nobody in the SEC, with all due respects to our other SEC guests that have been on that covered the entire conference, and this includes myself on my own SEC channel, nobody does the entire SEC better than Chris Gordy. Nobody. Sorry, Paul Feinbaum. Move over. Chris Gordy is the GOAT. He will join us at 6:30. He's going to hate that I said all of that. But Gordy spoke to one of the biggest Florida Gator reporters on the planet. His name is Graham Hall. And Graham, curly hair, Graham Hall. I used to have the exact same style of curly hair. You're going to see it a little bit later. It is, I'm telling you, it is a fro. Went on Chris Gordy's nationwide SEC channel and said he gives Florida a 65% chance of landing Lane Kiffin. So understand that while there have been some Florida insiders that feel as if LSU is in the lead, there are still some that think LSU could be the ones that are left at the altar yet again. And then, of course, you get to me, what would be the most explosive ending of all of this. Auburn beats Alabama. Kalen DeBoer goes to Penn State. Lane Kiffin goes to Alabama. Which could happen. You always have to be ready with everything when it comes to Lane Kiffin. And my opinion on this stays the same. Based on what actual big-time reporters have said, Lane Kiffin to LSU seems the most likely scenario right now. That is what I've understood basically for this entire time. I have seen everything. I've heard everything. I still think Ole Miss is in this. I still think Florida is in this. We're dealing with Lane Kiffin, who has always been a job jumper. 6 years at Ole Miss has been the longest time he's been at any job. And we are where we are right now, where we're just waiting for a signature. And while we wait, is he actually worth the wait? Is he actually worth the money? Yes, I think he's that special of a coach. The one thing that has got to be said about Lane Kiffin is that a lot of these sexy, younger hires that have their names in all these different jobs, they have mostly been one quarterback coaches. The success that they have had has been under one quarterback. So if we know that the quarterback is what really moves the needle in this sport of college football, Lane Kiffin has done what he has done at Ole Miss, the toughest conference in America, with three different quarterbacks. One elite one in Jackson Dart, one very good one in Matt Corral, and one in Trinidad Chambliss, who was a D2 guy. And he's better than a D2 guy, but you get the point. Lane Kiffin's offense, in a way, is quarterback proof. And if you were to always watch the game of football like pretty much all of you do, the quarterback position is the single most important thing in all of college football. All right. The way I rank it is this. These four most important people at every single program every year is your head coach, your quarterback for that season, your OC, and your DC. Okay. Now, as we move along in this sport, in the direction that we are moving in this sport, it'll probably now be your head coach, your GM, then that year's quarterback, OC, and DC. Okay? So keep that in mind, and that is why I think Lane Kiffin is worth the wait. I do. I also think you have to understand the volatility that comes along with the hire. And this would be something that has been repeated over and over by LSU fans about your concern about Lane Kiffin. Well, it's a dangerous hire. We don't know what he's going to do. What if the Alabama job does open up? And here's the thing. We played it safe with hiring Brian Kelly. That was a big talking point with Scott Woodward's push to go get Brian Kelly. Okay? He was safe. He had did what he did at Notre Dame. He was already a Hall of Fame coach, the all-time winningest coach at Notre Dame. And he now goes to a job at LSU, and he's a safe, structured guy. And he came here, and he melted down to the point where we are in a bigger dumpster fire at the end of this contract buyout situation than what we were with Ed Orgeron and what we were with Les Miles. And even when Saban left, this is probably the most volatile situation we have had at LSU. And that's another reason why you really want Lane Kiffin to sign this dotted line. Yes, he could sign with Florida and we feel terrible and he just absolutely failed there. But because we have invested so much time and resources and MMR flights and all of this to get Lane Kiffin to Baton Rouge, it is very important to close this deal. Very important. Okay. So I get it. I totally understand it. But in life, you can't play it safe. College football, you can't play it safe. You have got to go swing for the fences, especially with a 9-game conference schedule on the horizon. And Lane Kiffin winning 10 games in four separate seasons at Ole Miss with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma to the conference. And obviously, they have not played Texas. I mean, think about it this way. Lane Kiffin beat a Kirby Smart Georgia team by double digits last year. Okay? I understand there were some really ugly losses. But the truth is, the guy flat out wins. And that's why I want him to be the next head coach of the LSU Tigers. Okay? Let's go to Frankie STTDB. What does STTDB stand for? If we get Lane, we go to Ole Miss and to Tennessee next year. Cinema. That is true. We haven't even dove too deep into the 2026 schedule. Why should we? We must live in the now. But I get it. I like you looking ahead. Huh? 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 Does Lane Kiffin want that smoke? I think he does. Okay? So, pretty crazy day. Pretty crazy day. I will be on Blake Ruffino's show a little bit later. Big fan of Blake, as many of you know. Chris Gordy coming up here in just a second. And as always, please hit that like, subscribe button, 5-star review, all that stuff. We are a solo pod. And yes, our numbers have been ridiculous during this coaching search, but we want them to be even more ridiculous. Please stay up to date here on PHL. We'll have everything you need to know as far as the search is concerned. And I understand the Thanksgiving holiday is coming up. Guess what? F that turkey. F it. We are going on a pilgrimage here on PHL. We are going live every night. I don't care. It's the holidays. This is my job. This is what I do. I'm built like this. I don't need your cranberry sauce. I am here every single night. We might go 5 hours every night. Can't do it tonight, but we might go 5 hours on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday for the LSU-Oklahoma game, which, by the way, oh, boy. I released an LSU tweet about Joe Burrow throwing touchdowns to Justin Jefferson, and I basically was a joke. I don't think we're going to beat Oklahoma, but I said, and it was just a clip of Justin Jefferson scoring one of his four touchdowns versus Oklahoma. I said, LSU versus Oklahoma with college football stakes on the line? Sign me up. I know a few of you saw it. And most Oklahoma fans were very positive about it. They're like, yeah, that team's the best team we've ever played at any level, at any time. And they're right about that. They played the best team. That Oklahoma team was really good. But there were a few Oklahoma fans that kept saying, well, Joe Burrow's not walking through that door. Justin Jefferson's not walking through that door. No Shiite! It's not my point. My point is Oklahoma always shrinks when they play LSU. I even got one Oklahoma fan so triggered that he called me a coon ass, which is a derogatory term in the minds of many. And I've been called that before because I am proud to be a Creole. I'm proud to come from Cajun heritage. Now, I don't think you look at me and think Cajun, if you will, but I'm proud of it. You can call me whatever. It doesn't matter. I used to do stand-up. I was called every name in the book. I've been called the bad word for a Hispanic. I've been called bad word for Fortnite. I've been called everything, right? I don't mind being ambiguous or whatever. But these Oklahoma fans, most of them are great. I know this. Power Hour SEC. Oklahoma is one of the number one fan bases that support my channel. And they I'm serious. Out of all fan bases in the SEC, Oklahoma fans have to be up there. But for that little sliver of people talking so much trash for an offense that can barely score 20 points with John Madeer, oh, yeah, we're coming. Y'all are going to choke. We're going to win. That's exactly what Brent Venables is going to do. Because that's exactly what happens when LSU plays Oklahoma. I don't care if Marcus Spears isn't walking through that door. Or Jack Hunt. And you got to say that name slowly because if you say it quickly, you might say another bad word. But whatever the case may be, I don't care. LSU's going to get it done. LSU's going to get it done. Bauer Sharp is coming for revenge, baby, against his old team. He's going to score the first touchdown. And yes, we will score a touchdown. I don't know how, but it's going to happen. All right? Carter, my man, what are we making for the Thanksgiving spread? We got to know. I do have some good news. My TT, who many of you know from Lemony Twang Smoothie, that's a deep cut PHO viral moment. She's in town. She came from Baton Rouge and came to see her sister, which is my mother. And we're cooking up a roast tomorrow. We are, okay. But if there's another Oklahoma fan that wants to call me and I got to be careful because YouTube. Twitter actually blocked him because they view CA as a bad word. I was shocked that Twitter called that out as hate speech. I don't mind if you call me that, Oklahoma fans. I really don't. But I truly do mean it. Their fans are some of the nicest fans. All right, they've done a really good thing raising money for the Norman, Oklahoma Boys and Girls Club. So there you go. Lane train to Lanesville. I thought that said Louisville at first, okay? Now, let's talk a little bit here about the Florida Gators and their role in all of this. Well, one thing is for certain, I think one of the better group of five names that are out there is off the board, and that is Eric Morris. I actually would not have minded Eric Morris at LSU. And I understand that's not a sexy name, but it would not have been expensive. Eric Morris is a coach's coach. He is winning big right now with the quarterback who didn't even start in high school. And that means he's got a good system. He's hungry. He's innovative. And I would have loved him at LSU with a treasure chest of NIL to work with. But it's a big jump up from a G5 to, you know, in Baton Rouge. So he takes the job at Oklahoma State. And what do I know about that? Well, Arkansas was in heavy pursuit. All right, and a lot of you know my Arkansas connection. The Hogs were in it. Now, what I don't know is if Eric Morris chose Arkansas over Oklahoma State or if Arkansas said no because another name has accepted the job. I don't know. But I could say with the pretty decent confidence that Eric Morris was in the Arkansas chase, search, whatever. You look at some of these other jobs. I do think the big name for Arkansas is Kane Womack, the Alabama defensive coordinator. And Kane played at Arkansas. So that's going to be an interesting one to follow. You take a look at what's happening with the Auburn search. I have no idea what's happening there. It seems like John Summerall's most likely destination would be Auburn. His name has heavily been linked to Ole Miss, where he's actually coached. So Summerall has heavy connections to all three of the big three SEC potential openings outside of course, Florida. And then the name that I think for some reason is not getting any love right now is Alex Golsh. I'm a big Tennessee guy, as many of you know. I love Coach Heupel. Golsh is a Heupel guy. That's exactly what he does. Probably not to the same extreme as Heupel with the wide splits, but it's what he does. And I have no idea why Arkansas has not hired him yet. I have no idea. I'm a little shocked that he's not a P4 head coach already. I would be perplexed if he is at USF next season. I don't think he minds staying at USF, but at the same time, he's good. He's a really, really, really good coach. Okay. It's out of Sourdough Man. Braden Laborde says, behind Lane and Dillingham, Eric Morris was your third option. There you go. Now, what I want to do is go through some of the names that were put up there by LSU outside of, I guess you could say, those big three options. All right. Is there anyone else that LSU could be after that's not Kenny Dillingham, that's not Eli Drinkowitz? Maybe it is Josh Heupel. I don't know. Basically, outside of Drink, I've not really heard a whole lot of what's after Eli Drinkowitz for LSU. I really haven't. Okay. I wish I could tell you. I would hope it would be Kenny Dillingham. Those would be the three names that I would be after more than anyone else. But I don't know. I really, really, really don't know. I mean, all of the chips are in the middle here for Mr. Lane Kiffin. Okay. Let's go to Caleb. He says, Marcus Freeman smoke. I don't quite get that. I really wouldn't get that from Freeman's vantage point. But, you know, I've seen crazier things. I really have. Okay. I think that would probably be one of the more unlikely scenarios. But we gave that name out a few weeks ago. To me, what was initially brought to my attention was Lane Kiffin, Marcus Freeman, and Dan Lanning. They were going big, big, big game hunting. Would Dan Lanning come back to the SEC? I don't know. Dan Lanning was going to go from the Big Ten to the SEC, he would not have taken the shot he took to the SEC last weekend. I mean, he took a pretty big one. And I thought it was a little disingenuous. I don't want to get into all of that. He said something about, at least we don't play Coppin State or whatever. And it was an indirect shot at the Southeastern Conference. And old Dan Wolken dug up a clip of him saying basically the opposite of that when he was at Georgia. And I was like, really? You're going to do that, Dan? It doesn't make any sense, okay? Let's go to Guitar George. Carter, I love you and your takes, but I'm not with you on Kiffin as a 55-year-old California CA from the West Bank. I think character matters more than winning. We can do better. Give me Kenny Dillingham. Okay. So Guitar George, let's talk about old character. Okay. Well, most people don't care about character. They don't. And in fact, I can make a case that character matters less than what it used to when it comes to college football coaching. All right. People just want results. It's part of the Lane Kiffin dynamic that's been brought up by other people in the national media and just in general. Why is it that this big notion of college football, there are players out there that look at schools as not schools. They just look at them as teams. It's not the logo. It's not the history. It's not any of that. It's obviously, what can you do for me now? And Lane knows that's what it is at Ole Miss. Most of those players did not dream growing up of playing for Ole Miss. That's what makes LSU different. LSU has a lot of kids on this team that want to make a work at LSU because they grew up dreaming of playing at LSU. LSU being, of course, the school that everybody admires when you grow up in the state of Louisiana. I would say 9 out of every 10 elite Louisiana recruits adore LSU. Of course, you have your Arch Mannings and you have your Tackett Curtises, and yet you have some players that just have never wanted to go to LSU. But that's it. So Lane Kiffin would be leaving that job to come to LSU, where there's going to be more kids that want to play for the school. But the thing about Lane is that he understands this era really well. And another big benefit of him coming over now is that we do have signing day around the corner. We're going to sign most of the kids that are already committed. We have only had one decommitment, which was a pass rusher out of Florida. We have done a good job holding on to our commitments, and part of that is because the deals these commitments have in place are already in set. All right. We spoke to someone at 247 who knows how these deals work, Mr. Cooper Patagna, and they're going to play for whoever. Where Lane Kiffin's really good is a portal. He's been the best portal coach in the SEC, and there really isn't a close second. Okay, Brian Kelly actually's done really well in the transfer portal, but he's not won games with what he was given. So now Lane, who knows how to work the portal, is going to come over, and he's going to have a lot more in-state talent. He's going to have a lot more. He's going to have a lot better high school classes set in place, and he's going to do a great job of filling in the holes of the transfer portal. Now, one thing that I keep going back to with Lane, and why I do think he's interested in the LSU job, is that he knows last year was his year. That was the year that Ole Miss probably should have won the Natty, or at least gotten close. And I do think they were the best team in the SEC last year. I do think they were overall the third best team in college football last year. I thought the three best teams were Ohio State, Oregon, and Ole Miss. I think those three were the best. And he missed it. He messed it up. And that's all there is to it. And those things happen. And that's the thing that keeps me defending Eli Drinkwitz, is that you're not hearing really that criticism with Lane. Lane has beaten big-time ranked teams, but there's something to be said about beating the teams that you should have beaten, which Ole Miss, there wasn't a team in the SEC on their schedule that should have beaten them. Losing to LSU at night, losing that game actually made sense. That was a tough spot for them. That was their 7th game in 7 weeks. We were coming off a bye. So we had the maximum rest advantage you possibly could have. And Ole Miss was very banged up. You know, in that game last year versus us, they didn't have Princely, their best pass rusher, and their best receiver got hurt at halftime. If they have those two players, they probably win the game. But the other two losses were bad losses, all right? So, you know, I do think Lane's better than Drink, but yeah, I just think this point that Drink hasn't beaten enough ranked opponents is just so overrated. I really do think so. Some of these ranked teams that Eli Drinkwitz has lost to didn't have their quarterbacks, right? He's played with backups. Let's go to Michael Ray, who says, Jamie Chadwell. Okay. So is Jamie Chadwell a good coach? Yeah, he is a head coach at Liberty. But if you really want to talk about big college football disappointments, we can get into LSU. We can get into Penn State. Most people would point to Penn State being the biggest disappointment. You know, some would say USC. I mean, there's a lot that you could point to. But Liberty was by far the favorites to win their conference. And I've not followed them closely, but they've not done well. They have not done well at all. They had a lot of college football playoff love as a group of five representative. Okay? So, you know, I understand Jamie Chadwell. His name is always associated with these big jobs. I will also say Jamie Chadwell does not like LSU. Okay? Well, I'm not going to say he dislikes LSU, but there was something that happened that he was not pleased with, to say the least. Okay? Michael says Jeff Lebby as well. So I was the one that brought up Jeff Lebby a few weeks ago as a deep cut candidate. Mississippi State fans do not really like him, which is kind of shocking to me when your win total was at 3 to 3.5 before the season. If you were to tell Mississippi State fans, hey, you almost beat Texas. Hey, you're 5-6 with the chance to go 6-6, and you're at home in the Egg Bowl with the chance to give Ole Miss its most back-breaking loss in their school's history. Mississippi State fans would say, sign my asses up. Where Mississippi State fans are angry, and they are very angry, is how the quarterback room has been handled. Okay, they have the highest-ranked quarterback that they've ever signed in Kamario Taylor. And he's good. He's got juice. He can move. And their starter is Blake Shapen, who is a pocket statue, year five guy. And Mississippi State's always been a school that's had mobility at the quarterback position outside of the end of the Leach era. And now they have had Will Rogers. And then, of course, last year they had Shapen, then Van Buren, who's not really a runner, as a lot of us can see. And now they have Kamario Taylor, who's got a lot of juice. Okay, he's not on like the Talon Green, Jaden Daniels, Lenore Sellers level, but he can move. Probably like a Gunnar Stockton level runner, probably a little bit more juice than that. But Mississippi State's fans want Kamario Taylor. He's good. He's going to be good. Let's go to AP. He says, I have a bad feeling Lane Kiffin is playing us. Well, all LSU fans need to hope for is for LSU to close. Okay. That's all you can hope for. And I do think, based on what has happened since the start of this whole shebang, is that LSU has put their best foot forward in getting Lane Kiffin to Baton Rouge. You look at how LSU has pursued Lane. You started off digging yourself into a deeper and deeper and deeper hole with the governor's remarks and the handling of the president's and the athletic director situation. And now we are where we are right now. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Okay, hold on. All right, there we go. All right. Coming up next, the man who had one of the more interesting interviews of this Lane Kiffin search.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LabordTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LabordTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LABORDE Therapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
I said 70% a couple weeks ago. I'm still around 70, 65%. The LSU confidence, if I had something legitimate that I could base that off of, you know, not just like, oh, we're hearing from our boosters, they're confident. I would maybe have waned a little bit, but everything I've heard still makes me feel really confident. And really, I mean, by about 65%, maybe I should be safe and say, yeah, 50-50. It's a coin flip here. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe I have to factor in everything I talked about. Lane Kiffin could change his mind. You know, he could change his mind Tuesday morning when this drops. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this all shakes out. I'm still confident in Florida's chances, but it's hardly, I'm hardly sitting here saying, oh, 90% is happening, you know, barring a complete collapse. That's not what I've heard. I'm going to go 65% to protect myself. And if I'm wrong, then I can say, well, you know, I said 35% chance it wouldn't happen, man.
Yeah, my theory is he told LSU and Florida, I'm coming. And he's just going to make a decision as we get on where he's going.
Chris Gordy is our guest. Explosive interview with Florida beat reporter Graham Hall. So your initial thoughts on what he had to say about Florida 65% chance?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of goes hand in hand with what this whole thing has been for like the last 2 weeks, is that LSU is very confident, or you know, a lot of the people who cover LSU, LSU fans, LSU boosters, LSU supporters, they're all very confident that Lane Kiffin's coming to LSU. And everybody I've talked to on the Florida side is still pretty damn adamant he's coming to Gainesville. So, you know, we live in our bubbles sometimes, and, you know, I have a lot of LSU people in my bubble. So, you know, I had to kind of push away from the table. Our guy Brandon Olson, who does Locked On Gators, he's been pretty adamant about Lane coming there the last couple of weeks. So I said, let me go get somebody else that is on the Florida beat that's close to and see what he has to say. And so you heard Graham Hall there. I mean, saying 65-70%, they think Lane Kiffin's coming there. And so that's where I kind of come to the conclusion that I almost feel like Lane is telling both sides he's coming. And probably still telling some folks behind the scenes at Ole Miss, hey, I still haven't made a decision yet. I might stay. And I think this thing is really going to come down to this weekend, Carter. I get LSU's laid the groundwork. I get they've done everything. And, you know, there's reason to believe that this thing is on the two-yard line. But the guy is a wild card. I mean, it is I still think right now he probably doesn't have a 100% decision made up yet.
When you said that he's probably told everyone this is what I'm doing just to give them what they want to hear. You have completely convinced me that's the case.
Cause why would everybody be so confident? You know what I mean? Like, why would everybody be thinking he's coming if he hadn't given some indication? Yes. Hey, I'm coming, you know, like keep it quiet. Like, everybody's too damn confident for that not to have happened.
And it's very plausible. And it honestly, I'm a big Lane fan. I probably still will be to a certain degree because I love his offensive mind. Even if he doesn't choose LSU, right? This has been obviously a lot of fun. I will hate the guy a little bit more if he does actually go to Florida. I think most LSU fans, even though they play Ole Miss every season, they would prefer Lane stay at Ole Miss instead of, you know, going back to Florida, even though he never actually came to LSU per se. Do you remember anything like this ever happening?
I mean, you know, it harkens back to the two previous head coaching changes that LSU made. You know, we can even go back to 2004-05, where I remember at that time, the names that were being thrown around, Steve Spurrier's name was being thrown around.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back. I mean, John Gruden's name, Jack Del Rio's name was getting thrown around. Jack Del Rio. Yeah. His daughter goes to LSU. So it was like this weird connection. And then out of nowhere comes Les Miles from Oklahoma State. Everybody's kind of like, Les Miles. Yeah. Okay. He's done a good job there, but like, that's the guy that's going to follow Saban, the stud guy that we just had that won a championship. And so That one was kind of like, at least from what I remember, and that was like early days of like Tiger droppings. There was no Twitter. There was nothing. Like, that's the only thing you had to go on. So there was really, you know, it was easier to keep things under wraps. It wasn't this 24/7 news cycle where you have On3 Sports literally putting everything out constantly every day that they get. And then, of course, the 16 where Tom Herman is basically had an agreement with LSU. I mean, I talked to multiple people behind the scenes that said, Herman's coming. I was, you know, in Houston at the time, and folks at Houston were like, yeah, we think all indications he's going to LSU. And then that weekend, Texas plays Kansas, and I think Kansas beats Texas that day. And I want to say it was something that Charlie Strong, if he had won that game, or it was something like that, that Charlie Strong probably would have survived. But they had the ammo to fire Charlie Strong, and within a 48-hour period, they throw all the money in the world at Tom Herman, and Herman is suddenly going to Texas and not LSU. And then the whole Joe Oliva thing and Ed Ogeron. And I've seen some Florida people say, ah, you got stuck with the D-line coach. And yes, in hindsight, it wasn't the best hire, but he won a championship and brought LSU the greatest single season of all time. So people can choose to look at how they want. I will always look at the Ed Ogeron era as, look, the 19 was a massive success. And to me, that wipes out all the bad he did. I mean, granted, you got rid of him and so on and so forth. But and then the Kelly thing in 21, everybody was aboard the Lincoln Riley hype train. Everybody and their brother knew Lincoln Riley was leaving Oklahoma to come to LSU. And then suddenly there was this period where it was, oh, wait, no, he might be going to USC because he's afraid of the SEC. And Oklahoma was coming to the SEC. That's why he wanted to run away and all this. And so he runs out to the West Coast. And then Scott, you know, pulls a rabbit out of his hat. And Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, he's coming to LSU. Holy crap. Like, what it gets. So basically what I'm saying is, Carter, you say, has this ever happened? Yeah, it feels like it always happens to LSU.
Right.
Their target, they have their guy, sometimes even a verbal agreement, and then the rug is pulled out from under them. So that's where, if I'm an LSU fan, I would not be. Look, if Lane comes, awesome. He's going to be great. But don't get your hopes up and all your eggs in just this one basket, because you're going to be very disappointed when he chooses something else.
LSU head coach Eliah Drinkwitz does what to you?
Look, I'll be honest. I like Drink. I know he's become, I don't know why LSU fans have kind of become so like out on him. I get people like John Sumrall and the idea of him because of, you know, what he did at Troy and now at Tulane, but John Sumrall is largely an unproven. I can make a case John Sumrall is the next Billy Napier, as opposed, you know what I mean? Like a guy who looks good at the small level. Let's see what he does at the big boy level. Eli Drinkwitz is already at the big boy level. And I know everybody wants to harp on his record in, you know, top 10 matchups and all that. But I say take a step away from that and look at this very simply. He's 57-29 in his career at Mizzou. He won 11 games in 23, 10 games in 24. They're 7-4 this season. And you have to wonder, he's doing that with Mizzou talent. What could he do with the resources of a Florida and an LSU? It was such a big deal when he got five-star Luther Burden to come there, because it was like, oh my God, Mizzou doesn't get these kind of athletes. At LSU, there are five Luther Burdens in your backyard. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you give him that talent, the Louisiana talent, and recruits with his offensive mind. And I've heard a lot of people say, you know, how much is that Kirby Moore? How much is that Eli Drinkwitz? But, you know, he had a good little run there at App State, very brief. But I look at this, Carter, like, if you want to be completely objective, what's LSU always done very well that fans love is run the football. Look at what Drink has done since he's been at Mizzou every year. And I don't know if it's accurate to say a top five rusher in the SEC, but it's been pretty damn close. From the day he walked in, Larry Roundtree, Tyler Beatty, Cody Schrader. Last year was kind of a platoon with Nate Noel and Marcus Carroll. And this year with Ahmad Hardy, who as of a week ago was leading not only the SEC, but the country in rushing yards.
Yeah.
They run the damn football. So you got to give a hat tip to what Drink does from that aspect. They can run the damn football. They usually have pretty good offensive lines. The only thing he has not had since he's been at Mizzou is an elite quarterback. Brady Cook was a very good quarterback. He's not had that elite stud quarterback. If he were to get that, combined with the run game, the route run, route tree with the receivers, and hard-nosed defense, the Zion Young, some of these guys he's got some really good pieces on that defense. And so, you know, hey, you pair him with Blake Baker, who, by the way, he already worked with before at Mizzou. I would be intrigued to see. Again, I'm not saying Eli Drinkwitz is the top of my list. I'm not saying go and hire him. All I'm saying is, if that's the consolation prize, if Lane goes to Florida or stays at Ole Miss, and Eli Drinkwitz is very intrigued at the LSU job, to me, I would ask LSU fans to have an open mind and stop running to the message board fodder of, oh, he can't win big games. Yeah, he's at a crappy school. He's at Mizzou. He can't win.
Mizzou.
You know, it's like, what would he do at LSU? That's the question.
And the thing about these ranked losses with Drink is, you know, he's mostly been competitive versus Georgia. And, you know, he got blown out by Alabama 34-0. He's playing with a backup QB. I mean, if you actually looked at the ranked losses, it's not like they just got their asses blown out. It's not like they – even this Oklahoma game, they're able to run the ball. They just couldn't finish drives. And that was for Beulah's first game back. And Oklahoma's a really good team, as we will see here in a few days. You feel what about the Auburn, Arkansas, and Florida openings?
Well, the Arkansas one is interesting because as of a week ago, it sounded like it was going to be Marcus Satterfield. Then this past week, I know Pat Fitzgerald's name got thrown around in there for a little bit. And then I'm trying to, my brain's spinning. Who's the Arkansas name that's popped up here the last couple of days? Anyway. Well,
it was Kane Womack.
Womack's name's come up. But anyway, so I don't know if Arkansas is any closer to finding their guy, but it sounds like they're going to go kind of second level. Like they're going to have to go. I still think Alex Golish would be a great hire for.
I do. I don't get it. I don't know why Arkansas's not hopped on that. You get an obscure offense. You get the Tennessee offense, basically.
Yeah. And he's a hype old disciple. I mean, what better phrase is that to put on a t-shirt? Hype old disciple.
Right. But,
And I mean, maybe they're thinking Arkansas offense hadn't been the problem. It's been the defense has been absolutely putrid. So Maybe you want a defensive minded guy, but that's kind of where they are. Last I heard in Auburn, I mean, they are from this was a few days ago. Auburn was putting every egg in the basket of John Summerall.
Yes. Like
they think the ties with him of, you know, Troy, I want to say is about a 90-minute drive up the down the road from Auburn. Like he knows that whole area. He knows the high schools. He knows the coaches. All that stuff. So, I don't know. Like, it makes sense. But, I mean, then also Summerall's name's popped up at all these other jobs. So it's like, you know.
What do you think about rivalry weekend? Is there any because my thing is this. Auburn beats Alabama. And Alabama's now on the outside looking in, correct?
Yeah. And by the way, my internet's acting wonky, so if I have to
no, it happened last here, time. I was wondering what was going on. It happened last time.
Come back in, but I don't know. This is so stupid. I pay this company a fortune for. I won't put their name out there, but you pay a $200 internet and cable bill. Like I should get better service than this. But anyway, no, I mean, this is Alabama's season. Like if they lose this game, they're toast. Like it's crazy to think win and you're going to Atlanta, the SEC title game, lose, you're out of the playoff and probably going to the Outback Bowl or something. Like that's how crazy this thing has become for Alabama and how dire this game is. And then on the flip side, you have a hungry, talented Auburn team that has nothing to lose. They don't give, like, if they lose, they don't give a damn. They got to, you know, DJ Durkin might stick around as the DC, whoever the new head coach is, but they're going to hire a new head coach. Like, and I'm over the thing, too. I had some people tell, oh, if Durkin wins this, they got to hire him. No, they don't. Like, it's a big win, and you pat him on the back. Look, nobody wants Durkin to leave, but also, nobody at Auburn wants Durkin to be the head coach. They want him to be the DC. Whether that's under John Summerall or whoever their head coach is going to be. So it's a danger spot for Kalen DeBoer because Auburn's good. Their defense is really good. And their offense has been much different these last couple of games since they got rid of Hugh Freeze. The Ashton Daniels kid looked really good 2 weeks ago. I wonder how he'll look having last week off, letting Deuce Knight get the start against Mercer. But Deuce Knight was so dynamic, it makes me wonder, will Derek Nix put some wrinkles in there? You know, do we see some Deuce Knight carries against Alabama just to mix it up with different packages? And so, Bama's in a danger spot, and they better take care of the football.
Do you believe DeBoer to Penn State is plausible?
No, I think everybody I've talked to said there's no smoke with that. Now, if DeBoer loses, there are going to be some big money Alabama people wanting to say get this guy the hell out of here. He's 0-2, you know, in his first 2 years in terms of making the playoff. So there will be that, but I don't think in any world Kalen DeBoer leaves Alabama for Penn State. I think that's silly.
You think it's just sextoning?
Yeah, it was one guy, one beat writer in Pennsylvania put it out there. Nobody else had that source. He was the only one to put that out there. I think even Paul Feinbaum called him out. And then even since then, the guy knocked him down. He goes, well, actually, DeBoer's the number two on their list. It's like, even he's backed off it now. So, I thought that was kind of bogus.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. I think you're the best at doing the entire Southeastern Conference. I listen. The Graham Hall interview, though, that's why I wanted to play that clip. Because I was like, man, like, this is the actual 247 Florida guy, 65%, to say it that publicly.
Yeah.
I was like, God, dog. He was like, no, I'm actually at 70, but I'm going to protect myself and go down to 60. And for me, normally with these reports, with these coaches that don't actually end up going, sometimes they're just totally made up. But Gordy, you might feel differently about this. Normally there's an ounce of truth to it, right? Like, right. I Graham Hall has journalistic standards to abide by. I don't think he would just be saying this just to appease his subscribers, if you will. So that should concern you if you're an LSU fan. I don't know Graham at all. I like his curly hair. I used to have curly hair, but I don't even know what I would want to do on my channel if Lane picks Florida. What's your gut telling you?
Well, I'll say this, like, it's not the craziest thing if you're an LSU fan. Like, keep in mind, his family visited Gainesville that Sunday before they came to Baton Rouge. Like, so it's not like, oh, Florida's so down the list. And I've heard some people say that. I think even Pete Thamel put it out there and said, well, it would be an upset at this point if he picked Florida. But, like, don't ask anybody in Gainesville that. They all fully believe he's coming. You know, it was funny, Carter, you know, so many conspiracy theories and all this kind of stuff. I saw earlier today, Florida volleyball had a season finale game against, I think it's North Florida. It was scheduled for this Saturday at their arena. They canceled that game today. And immediately everybody starts going, oh, they're freeing up the space for the press conference. And I'm like, wait, the day Florida's going to play Florida State, they're going to have a press conference with Lane Kiffin? Like, I don't think that's going to happen. So, but again, it's just people are so crazy right now. That's why you got to take everything with a grain of salt. I mean, it's crazy, Carter, because 20 years ago, I remember the rumors of, you know, when Nick Saban was leaving LSU, people were starting the message boards about, I heard Steve Spurrier's looking for houses in Baton Rouge. And I'm just like, that stuff is so, nobody's looking for houses. Like, when you take a job, like Tom Herman, when Tom Herman took the job at Texas, you know, one of the first things Texas did said, here's the keys to your house. We have all that squared away for you. Tom Herman didn't go, you know what? I got to get to town a week before and go house shopping. Nobody does that. Like, the school takes care of that crap for you.
Yes.
Brian Kelly got that house right there on the LSU Lakes that he used to run by every day. He didn't go shopping. He wasn't on Zillow looking at prices. Like, the school sets that crap up for you. So when I hear crap like, our Lane Kiffin's, you know, he's got a house pending in Baton Rouge, like, stop. It's all that stuff is so bogus. And if I'm Lane, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm legitimately going to buy a house in Gainesville and Baton Rouge just to make these idiots go like, oh my God, he's buying a house. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just crazy. Between that, the following, the private planes, there's a plane going from Oxford to Baton Rouge. Like, Lane Kiffin in the middle of the week is flying around the country. Like, no, he's getting ready. He's still got games to coach. So,
and it was to pick up a black dog, according to Moscone. Yeah,
it's just everybody's just lost their mind when it comes to that kind of stuff. But again, like, I think Lane, though, is so unpredictable that, you know, it's, you don't know what he's going to do. And that's why folks on Florida and LSU right now are so confident.
Breaking news, Whit Weeks reveals that he broke his ankle against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have heard that Witt would be very interested in returning to LSU if Lane's a guy.
Well, yeah, especially if he's still dating the daughter. I mean, why wouldn't he? But yeah, I'm glad that finally came out, because somebody told me that week, what was the game right after that where he was like questionable all week, and then they ruled him out, and then he was spotted in a walking boot. I had somebody tell me that at that time, they're like, he's done for the year. Whit Weeks is not coming back. Somebody told me that a couple weeks ago, and yet they've kept plugging this thing along ever since then. Yeah, I guess it was the bye. It was the South Carolina game. They were like saying, oh, he might play, and then he didn't. And then it was Vandy. Remember, he was like, oh, he might play against Vandy. Oh, no, he's been ruled out. So I don't know. It just, but again, it was kind of one of those passing comments somebody made to me a few weeks back. They were like, yeah, what's done for the season. So he got out there last week. I mean, he wasn't very, you know, they got him out there just to do the three brother thing, but.
Then he was back in a walking boot immediately. I don't think I've ever seen that before, but the three brother thing was definitely cool. So there you go. Chris Gordy, make sure you check it out. Locked On SEC, long time KLSU legend, Tiger TV legend, and the guy.
Oh, you asked me what I think. I think right now I'd still say he's coming to LSU, but that's.
Oh, yeah, we never got around to like your actual opinion. Yeah, it's for some reason I feel that way as well, just because, as you know, I'm not Mr. Insider or anything, but that's what everyone's telling me. Okay. I've had, now to your house thing, I have had two different people send me the same house that he allegedly has already picked out. And I'm just like, oh, okay. This is interesting.
Don't forget, U-High is, I mean, they're pulling up the transcripts for Knox Kiffin, and
yes,
he's taking placement tests and all this stuff. I'm just like, you don't know what to believe.
I don't. And I like, what do you think of these reports out there that Saban is telling him go to LSU?
I think that's real from a standpoint of, I think, I and look, it's not one of those, like, I think Lane kind of asked around, did his due diligence, kind of poking around, asking people different things. And I think Saban, some point there was a conversation with Saban, and Nick said, look, at the end of the day, I want a championship there. Les Miles won a championship there. Ed Ogeron won a championship there. Lane, you're going to have more talent than you know what to do with in your backyard. Right now, you're at Ole Miss where you're having to go buy classes every year, and then you can't recruit there. It's hard to recruit at Ole Miss. At LSU, that'll solve itself. You're going to have more people than you've ever had at a football game. I mean, all that stuff. I think that's what Saban told him. But then if you watch Saban on game day, he was kind of the whole, but look, stay in Oxford and create your legacy there. And I get all the people who are saying that. And yes, it's hard to say with a guy who's literally on the verge of going to the playoff, like, why wouldn't you stay there? It's because, Carter, go look at the Vegas odds to win the national championship right now. I want to say Ole Miss is somewhere around 7th or 8th.
Right.
They're going to, just because you make the playoff doesn't mean you're that close to winning a national championship. And I get it. You could get hot, but this isn't really the NCAA tournament, right? Like, this isn't where Butler can go on a run once every 45 years. Like, it's going to be really, really hard for Ole Miss to win a championship this year. And so I think even if they make the playoff, they're one and done, or they win a playoff game and then lose in the second round, I think Lane is going to look – he has to look himself in a mirror and say, am I any closer to winning a championship at Ole Miss? Can I win a national championship at Ole Miss? And I think the answer to that question is no. It's super hard with – given the resources and NIL and everything everywhere around the country, it would be really impossible, in my opinion, for him to win a championship at Ole Miss. Give him 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. I don't think it would happen. At LSU, he can, because of all those different things. And that's where I think you look at Ed Ogeron did it. Took a special season, took Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Burrow and all those guys doing their thing. But I think that's what Lane has to look at, is you know, what's the ceiling here at Ole Miss? Even though everybody's trying to tell him you could win a championship there, I just don't think you can.
If everyone could do me a favor, just go to this link right here. I'll post it in the chat. Locked On SEC to thank Gordy for his time and his mentorship to me on as I go through my career. Y'all, it is so hard to get to 10K subscribers doing college football stuff, and Chris Gordy is at 12K. It's hard. It's really, really, really hard. And as you can see, man, the dude is just racking up views here during this this coaching search. Shorts, everything that you need. My guy right here.
That is a team to me.
Is that Trey Wallace?
That is a team to me that has figured it out along the way and has now turned it.
You can't really see it here. I'm just jealous he has that Garth Brooks. And I followed him. He didn't follow me back for that. I was like, I don't care about what he had to say. That all black Garth hat is just like clean as hell.
Yeah, Trey's a good dude. He's been covering the SEC for a while. And yeah, I like to get him on every now and then to get kind of a different perspective. Again, we live in our bubbles. Always good to go outside your bubble and get a perspective elsewhere. But I was with him. I mean, I picked Georgia preseason to win the SEC. And
oh, you did?
I mean, I'd like to stick with it. But if A&M and Alabama both win this weekend, they're going to Atlanta. If either Alabama or A&M loses, Georgia will be going. So,
because Alabama's two losses, one is to an out of conference, and then
Georgia's done. Georgia's 7-1 in the SEC. So if Bama loses, they are out of the SEC championship hunt. If A&M loses, if it becomes a tiebreaker, Georgia would get the tiebreaker, and Georgia, Alabama, and they have the tiebreaker over A&M because A&M's played a crap conference game. They've played the seven worst teams in the conference.
And Ole Miss can still make the SEC championship.
So they need, Bama to lose and A&M to lose. And I think that the odds of that happening are not very likely. I think one of those upsets happens. I think either Texas beats A&M or Auburn beats Bama. I don't think the football gods will align for both of those things to happen. But if they do, look, if you're an LSU fan, you don't want that to happen because that's going to make this thing even more awkward, because then Lane feels like, oh, we're going to Atlanta for the first time? I got to go. And it gets really sticky, because then he might just say, if Keith Carter says, no, dude, you're leaving, go, he might go, well, maybe I'm just going to stay. You know, I don't know. I don't think that's what you want.
Yeah, so Bama wins, they're in. A&M wins, they're in. Yeah. And then obviously you could see all the scenarios there, man. I've never been more anxious for a college football weekend than this one.
Right? It's set up perfectly. Like don't go shopping on Friday. Don't do anything. It's a triple header on Friday and then a whole slate of games on Saturday. It's going to be fun.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Doing the family thing. So, by the way, the NFL slate's pretty good on Thanksgiving too. So it's, we do have a college game that night. I think it's a crappy one though. I think it's like Memphis.
The Egg Bowl not being on Thanksgiving is a shame, crime.
Well, we had Texas versus Texas A&M for a while too on Thanksgiving. So yeah. we've had different matchups. And didn't we have an LSU A&M game on Thanksgiving once?
Did we? I don't know. I don't know. But there you go. Make sure you check it out. Locked On SEC, 12,000 subscribers and growing. And we'll talk to you soon, Gordy.
Anytime, Carter. Appreciate it, man.
All right, buddy. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Love it. Let's go to Paul. We'll take a few more here. Once again, I'll be on AYS tonight at 7:30. So you don't have to change that dial. You honestly don't. YouTube's algorithm is going to put my face, once you exit out of here, I'll put AYS's stream up there. We cannot hire Drinkwitz since 2020 versus SEC teams with a winning record. He is 0-19. Okay. LSU fans will run Drink off. Okay. So yeah, and look, it's weird because Drink seems like a guy. Like, two things could be true at once. You could call out Missouri playing a weaker non-conference than most teams. You could call out Missouri for not having as strong of an SEC schedule as other teams. But at the same time, you can also say, look, you're going to go get Kenny Dillingham. Well, he's been in the Big 12. Would you prefer someone with no SEC experience? Or would you prefer someone with SEC experience? They're not, they're both younger guys. The problem with Drink is he's already making a lot of money in Missouri. So it would cost a little bit more. He's making $9 million per year at Missouri. So is it worth that little bit of cost increase? You know, price is something interesting. This would be the only thing I would say to the LSU powers that be. And this is where the Ross Dellinger report becomes far more interesting, because he was the first national reporter to put this out there, that LSU with Lane Kiffin is promising 25 plus million a year in NIL incentives. Now, the thing about that is, of course, LSU with the NIL stuff, you have a cap, right? You have an NIL cap of 20.5 million in revenue sharing. All right. So we get into the subjective and also objective nature of what is NIL and what's not NIL. What do you mean by the 25 million or whatever? Kind of a gray area that we don't address, because, you know, a lot of this money we don't see. You know, it's interesting though, when you get into, hey, why haven't you beaten a ranked team, or why haven't you actually broken through? Well, you know, for the longest, Phil Mickelson was the best golfer of all time until that didn't win a major, until he actually won a major. Greatness eventually does break through. So it comes down to if you view Eli Drinkwitz as a great coach or not. Okay. And this goes back to chance. All right. If you were to really break down the best Jaden Daniels games from that season, Missouri would probably be in the top three. Okay. I think Florida would probably be number one. And then if you want to get real, it's probably Alabama number two. And then you can get into which one deserves to be number three. It's either Missouri or Ole Miss. Okay. You got to remember, Jaden won that game with DJ Chester at center. Okay, it was a bad day for our centers. Marlon Martinez got hurt. Then we put, not Marlon Martinez, Charles Turner got hurt. Then Marlon Martinez came in, snapped the football wildly over Jaden's head a few times. Then they benched him and went to the true freshman DJ Chester, who got mauled. And there was a play in that game that's not talked about enough. Chester got put to the ground, and he actually was fine. Mauled is a strong word there. And Jaden Daniels hurdled DJ Chester. Chance probably remembers this play. That is still one of the craziest plays I've ever seen. It is still insane. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Okay. Now, I do want to include this. Sources. Okay. This occasionally happens from time to time. So I've been doing some research on Drink, and someone that watches the channel just told me that Eli's about to get into a huge extension. His name just being out there is just there, and he's not going anywhere. Okay. He's about to sign an extension. So that's a good thing about, you know, it's kind of, if you view Eli Drinkwitz the same way you view Matt Rhule, it's kind of what happened when the Penn State job opened. Matt Rhule got an extension out of nowhere, and there you go. Okay. So, I think, and maybe one of the national guys just put it out there, I think Elijah Drinkwitz is about to get a big extension. Okay. All right. So none of the national guys have reported this yet, but don't be shocked. Okay. So Clifford, where did you see it? I don't know. I'm not scooping the national guys. Wait till the national guys have said it, but I just from someone I trust. So you guys might get your wish. Elliot, it's shocking how much you guys just do not like this guy. I kind of want to go back and rewatch what actually happened to their offense versus our defense. Because what was it? They were up by a weird score. They were beating us like 23-10 or something like that at half. Extension season. Now, here's the thing. Drink might not sign it. He might not sign it. He might say, look, LSU's been after me. I wanna go somewhere else. I wanna cash in on a big job. Okay. Ross is in Dellinger. Yeah, we went through it. I don't know if, let me see. I saw that, and the last thing he reported today was Eric Morris getting the job. Okay. Now, we do this every Tuesday. The latest college football playoff bracket. This is what it would look like. This isn't the rankings. This is the bracket. Okay, this is via Ross Dellinger, but obviously we're live during the college football committee. The top four are what you would expect it to be: Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, and Georgia. So Georgia's in a pretty good spot right here. They're actually in a really, really, really good spot, because if they lose to Georgia Tech, they're probably still getting into the field. And they could also avoid the SEC championship game, which I think Kirby would prefer. So, yeah, it's interesting how that sets up. You could get a first-round matchup between Ole Miss and Alabama. In this latest rankings, Miami is in. They would play Oregon in the first round. Texas Tech and Tulane, the highest ranked group of five team. And as you can see, the big debate here is between Oklahoma and Notre Dame. Now, here's the problem with the Miami thing, is that Miami's not going to be in the ACC championship game. So, even though they're the highest ranked team that's in this playoff bracket, they're going to get boxed out of the ACC championship game. Okay. Which looks to be Virginia and SMU. Okay. So obviously this bracket is fun to look at. It's fun to fantasize about, which is kind of weird for me to shape it like that. But there's a lot that can change. A lot. Okay. And Miami's not in a good spot. They are not in a good spot at all. Chambliss is out of eligibility. Kwon Lacy has eligibility. Would he come with them? Well, I don't know. It's a great question. Let's see. God, Miami's in a tough, tough, tough spot. Yeah, dude, the three Miami fans out there would burn everything down to the ground if Notre Dame gets in over them. Tulane in there is an absolute joke, says American Patriot. Okay. Tulane will taste a college football playoff before LSU. Well, no, we've been in there before. Okay. I did not answer Benny's question from earlier. What is in my Thanksgiving spread? Oh, yeah, I did. Me and TT are cooking a roast tomorrow. And by me and TT, I mean my TT is doing it. Not me. I'm going to be there and support the very important role of being a taste tester. Okay. All right, so here's a Missouri reporter from 2 hours ago. I promise you I did not see this. So I don't know the details of this report. I've been Googling it because I don't want to be the guy that's first on anything. But Eli Hoff. That's a great photo right there, Eli. Look at that. Board of curators closed meeting tomorrow on the context surrounding it. No, I don't have access. So, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, this has been a not good year for the Group of Five. I'm still okay with the Group of Five getting a playoff slot. Okay? Still fine with it. And I understand it's kind of like a charity spot, if you will. And I understand it stings even worse if there's not like the Ashton Gentry Boise State or the Ian Johnson Boise State type of Group of Five team, the Luke Fickle Cincinnati, that's undefeated. They have a superstar coach or a player. You know, Cincinnati had our guy, Mike Dimbrock, calling their plays. But what I would say is the field is still only comprised of P4 teams outside of one. That is less than 10% of the field going to the Group of Four where their roster is getting rated every year by the P4s. So every Group of Four, Group of Five, whatever, conference is already at a major, major, major disadvantage. One slot. That's all it is. One slot. All right, y'all. I'll be on with the Great AYS here in just a moment. And don't forget, we have extra film studies, analyses, if you will, with our membership program. My favorite Lane Kiffin play call of all time is in there. And please sign up. Join our Discord. All those different things. Okay? It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight. We're doing some Detroit-style pizza. Let's go. Let's go.